And welcome to my second podcast, but I feel like it's my first. What I did yesterday was kind of messing around, seeing if the recorder would actually work while riding my bike. And I was happy to see when I got to school that you could actually hear it, and there wasn't a lot of wind noise. So I'll officially declare this one the first official one. And the topic I'd like to talk about, it kind of came up when I was talking with a kid yesterday. She's doing a research paper on project-based learning, pros, cons, the skills it imparts, how it'll affect kids in the future, do the skills that project-based learning require, the same skills that future occupations will require, how many teachers are doing it, not doing it, teachers that say they're doing project-based learning, are they actually doing it, or are they just doing, projects which require kids to just find some factual sort of information, throw it on a poster board, and hang it up in the classroom. The classic, do a project on Rhode Island, find out how many people live there, what grows there, and the name of the biggest city. I think unfortunately when people hear projects in school, that's what they end up thinking of. And I know that I'm searching for a new word to use in class. Because as soon as I say to the kids, all right, we're going to start our next project, or if the kids say, the same thing, I say, that's not exactly what you think it is. I have a hard time getting over the fact that what they know of projects in the past is different now that they're in my class, hopefully. So if anyone wants to suggest a new word, I'm more than happy to hear it. Everything I've come up with is a little dry. And so again, looking for something else besides the word project. Throw some ideas out to me, would you? Anyway, in talking to this girl, she wanted to go and interview teachers. She wanted to push past making this just a very simple research paper and make it into a documentary. Interviewing kids, interviewing teachers, so forth. And when she was talking about how she would handle the interviews with the teachers and what kind of questions she would ask, I think an interesting topic came up, and one that's bothered me for a long time. And that is, would these teachers start getting upset when she starts asking them about their teaching style? And one of the questions was, I don't remember exactly, but basically, why do you use that style? What sort of skills do you think that style gets the kids to use and develop? Why is that style going to meet the needs of the kids in the future? Why is that style just simply an interesting way of teaching? Why does it produce a quality, positive, interactive, energetic, passionate classroom? And in our discussion, I kind of said, you know what? You're going to have some teachers who are probably going to get upset at you, with you. Because I don't know how it is in other parts of the world, but around here, if you start questioning a teacher's teaching style, it can be a painful experience. When a student questions a teacher's teaching style, it results in a trip to the office. And it just brought me, it brought both of us and a couple of the kids sitting around us to the question of, why don't we listen to the kids more? why don't we believe that they actually have valid opinions? I mean, they are sitting in our classrooms and for 186 days or so. You'd think after that long, anybody would have a good idea of whether or not that teacher's style is working. And in a day and age, actually I am going down a hill now, so there will be a lot of wind resistance, so give me 5 seconds or so, would you? In my case, I've got over 100 kids. They're sitting in my classroom for 186 days. I personally think if I want to know how I'm doing, those are the people I should be asking. An administrator coming in, you know, for what, once, twice a year, whatever it is, every few years, and they'll tell me how I'm doing. Teammates, other people on the floor, other people in the building. I don't think I've actually ever had another teacher. I don't think I did ask to come in and observe my class. So I've really, you know, if you think about it, 16 years, the exception of principals and assistant principals coming in and watching a class, I've never had the opportunity to talk about what I'm doing with someone who's actually seen it. And as you know, we all tend to twist reality a little bit, and what happens sometimes after the fact, we twist it to make it sound better or worse. I think it would be valuable to have someone else come into the classroom, another adult, on a regular basis, and be able to talk to that person afterwards about how they thought the class went, how did it go from their perspective, kind of how you do with a student-teacher. You know, a lot of times a student-teacher will finish a lesson and they'll be like, oh, that was the best ever. Kind of pose some questions to really make them think about things they might not have seen or thought about. But getting back to the conversation with the girl, you know, one of the things I brought up is that some people that know me have actually heard this story a million times. My classic example of teachers not wanting to listen to kids, I happened to bump into a teacher in a hallway. I don't know what started it, but she basically said that one of the kids that day in class kind of raised their hand and said, "This is boring," something to that effect. And I can't remember exactly what happened, whether the teacher gave her detention or wrote him up to the office, but it was a big deal to that teacher. That teacher felt insulted. The teacher felt like student was being disrespectful, out of line, you know, on and on, fill in whatever words you want. My response to her was, "Wow, aren't you lucky? Kid told you exactly what they're thinking. You know exactly where what they thought about your lesson. And now you can go from there and do something about it and work with that kid in a way in which you might not have been able to before they told you what they were really thinking." Needless to say, that comment did not go over very well. You know, I guess what's that saying? Students should be seen and not heard. I think students should be seen and they should be believed. And I think that's actually the poster I have hanging outside my door in my classroom. I know one of the most valuable things that I've done in my career is probably about 10 years ago, I started handing out student evaluations or teacher evaluation, I guess, to the students. And at first, it was just a few questions at the end of the year. You know, the classic, the best thing you liked, the thing you liked the best, the thing that you'd change, a couple skills that you learned. Very simple questionnaire. And over the years, I've developed it, and I think up with a pretty darn good evaluation. As I've seen things online, I've kind of taken from those. I've started to do it now, not only at the end of the year, but halfway through as well. Sometimes I'll even do it at the end of the first quarter with some classes. But it's, you know, believing in the kids' opinions of me and what they think is happening in class. It doesn't matter what I think, it matters what they think. And, you know, in talking to this girl, it just, blood pressure went up a little bit. And we talked about how there could be a class in which every single kid could stand up and say, this is boring. And instead of the teacher sitting back and saying, gee, maybe this is boring, or, you know, maybe you're right, they would instantly turn it around and say that, boy, there is such a problem with that class. They are so rebellious and disrespectful, and I can't even believe they said that to me. I try with my kids, at least, have an open dialogue going on in class. And you know, every year it's different. Some years you got classes in which you connect with right away, and they trust you right away, and there are classes in which, you know, classes in which you can read the energy, or at least know how well something is going, and you can change things on the fly. Things get pretty exciting. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there going through the cars. Oh boy, where was I? Anyway, so believing in kids. And I think when you have a teacher that really believes in the kids, you know, the kids will take more risks for you. Obviously be more honest about not just academic things, but all things in their life. You know, instead of a kid kind of doing poorly for a couple months and not being able to figure out why, you know, that kid will end up approaching you and telling you, hey, here's what's going on in my life, man. I need a break for a while. You know, when you believe in a kid, you say, you know what? Okay, you got it. This particular girl that started this conversation, let me just let the car go by again. This particular girl, about 3 weeks ago or so, distinctly remember, she kind of raised her hand in class, maybe just spoke out, and basically said, I think we're on the first day of a new project, and she said something along the lines of, why in the world are we doing this? Why is this important? How is this going to help me? And, you know, again, it's a question which kids in class or other teachers can say, geez, what the heck are you doing? To me, man, that is a sign of critical thinking skills and brilliance right there. I have joked about her abstract thinking skills throughout the year, but I'll tell you, number one, any kid who's going to actually think that instead of just sitting down and doing whatever the heck I tell them just because I told them, any kid who's going to question, analyze whatever the heck we're doing and say, you know, why am I doing this? I think that's just absolutely super. And if I had every single kid in class doing that, I know it would push me to think about things differently. Because I think inevitably, at certain points of the year, we, you know, other things in our life kind of take over that we might just throw a new unit together, or we might just introduce something to the kids and forget about why we're doing this. You know, I'm not a big believer in always starting off a unit and saying, here's what we're doing, here's why we're doing it, and here's what you're going to get out of it. But sometimes we have to do that. Conversation with a great storyteller. Her name was Carol Birch. I hope I have the name right. And I remember her saying that when when people usually tell stories, when a teacher does or whatever, at the end of the story, they'll say something along the lines of, you know, what was the moral of that story? And people will give their answers, and of course the teacher or whatever will say, well, no, not really, on and on, and then finally they'll say, you know, whether someone gets it or whether they say it, they'll say, all right, well, the moral of the story was, and give the answer. And she said, never ask that question at the end, because the point of the story is whatever the person gets out of it. And each person, each person can get a totally different meaning out of a story that's right. So sometimes when I'm introducing a new project, I hesitate to say, you know, here's what you're going to get out of it. And somehow I feel like I've digressed from my original topic, which is believing in the kids. Maybe I should bring this to a close. And I will. I've got to get to school, and in order to make this recording, I have to slow down. So maybe I'll stop right here. I'll take a little picture and be on my way. So thank you for listening. Please leave me some comments. Being a newbie at this, I would love to hear from everybody and what I can do to make this better. Especially if my rambling is too off track, and maybe if it's important to stick to a topic, or if it's okay to kind of ramble along. So the picture that you see attached with this podcast is an old farm that's been turned into open space, preserved by the town. It used to be an apple orchard. I'm going to assume it would probably also be for a hay field. So I hope it's not too grainy on the website. The light is still... sun's still not really up. It poured last night, thunderstorms, and so it's still misty in the field. It's absolutely beautiful. The grass is about 2.5 feet tall, hasn't been cut yet. So, thank you for listening, and please come back and leave me some comments about how I can improve this. I'm really eager to get going on this podcast, and after listening to so many other podcasters, it was a little daunting, because it seems like as soon as the mic goes on, they speak so fluidly and they're so organized and every word is thoughtful, and a little daunting to enter the world of educational podcasters when my speech might not be so fluid and easygoing at this time. So leave me a comment, would you? All right, thank you very much, and see you next week.